this will be my greatest performance.
Thanks for downloading the Family Friendly Morning Show podcast.
Program the computer. A teaching pastor and speaker has written a new book called Satisfied. His name is Jeff Mannion. He's the teaching pastor of Ada Bible Church. And the book Satisfied, Discovering Contentment in a World of Consumption. How'd you get started in writing the book?
Well, one of the projects that I went to in preparation for writing the book, I was reading Jen Hatmaker's book, Seven, and she gave away 7 items a day for a month. And I decided that I was going to rid my life of 5 items a day for 6 weeks for some reason. But it's 210 items, 35 items a week. For the first time, like in ages, I went through my shoe bins and just found all these old pair of running shoes that I never use anymore, flip-flops that I bought on this vacation or that vacation that just kind of added up and compiled, these brown casual shoes that I hadn't worn in 3 years. And I'm not a shoe guy. You know, I mean, I don't accessorize. And yet I got rid of 9 pair. And so in Satisfied, part of it is just kind of coming to grips with this mountain of stuff that we accumulate over time. And so Satisfied is really about what we have, what we need, and what we want. And I think more importantly, who we are. The sermon series that we're going through at Ada is 6 parts, and the book is 6 parts. And I didn't want people talking about generosity or talking about accumulation or just thinking about abundance. I wanted to have some hands-on things to kind of make the thoughts and the teachings more impactful. And so one of them is like, you know, find something around your house of value that you never use. Not junk, but something valuable, but you haven't used it in 4 or 5 years. And see if you can find its rightful owner. That is, give it to someone who, you know, that bike rack that's out in the garage, or you got 6 pair of gloves, or the extra pair of golf clubs that you haven't touched in 4 years. And just seeing if you can bless someone with that. And so I think that the projects have to go along. One of the projects is count your shoes and count your shirts. We had women at Ada Bible Church throwing out shoes or giving them away, knowing that that project was coming so that they would count fewer when the day actually arrived.
Wow. I do not want shame in my small group.
I know.
You started at Ada very young.
Yeah.
And you were newly married, and you and your wife, Chris, just decided we have to be generous. We have to build this into our life. And can you kind of go through that whole story a little bit with us?
Yeah, we just celebrated our 30th year
congrats.
At Ada Bible Church.
Oh, hey, the grandbaby. When does that due?
Absolutely. 5 weeks, man.
All right.
5 weeks. Cool. A grandson.
Nice.
And so we can't wait to become grandparents. But 30 years at Ada Bible Church. And I'm 51. We were 21-year-old newlyweds. I was between my 3rd and 4th year in college, and this little church plant, Ada Bible Church, a church planter had resigned, and they were trying to figure out what to do, stay open or close or what. And they asked me to come in and just to begin to preach on weekends. And again, I wasn't even out of college yet. And that was 30 years ago. But that we were at Ada Bible Church for 7 years before it got over 100 people consistently. And so it's just this small struggling church, and our salary was very, very small, is what the church could afford at the time, but it was very limited. And yet, as 21-year-olds, Chris and I committed ourselves with very limited income that we would practice a discipline called tithing. And tithing is the life discipline of living off 90% of your income so that 10% can be given away. And so we embraced that. We embraced the discipline of living off 90% of whatever we're making so that 10% could be totally at God's disposal for his purposes. And I am so thankful that we did that then, because one of the most lethal words a person can use in relationship to generosity isn't the word no. Because when prompted by God to give, if you just say no, then at least you can have a good argument. But we use a more lethal word, and I write about this in Satisfied. It's the word later, and it's lethal because we believe it. And so kids get out of college, and they go, well, of course we're going to live a generous life. Just not now. Are you kidding me? I mean, we don't, you know, we're just landing in our first real jobs. And then fast forward the tape, and then maybe there's a wedding and there are a couple of kids on the way. Oh, no, 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 no. We definitely want to live the generous life, but not right now, later. You know, we've got young children, and maybe we went from 2 incomes to 1.5 or 2 incomes to 1. And so we definitely want to give generously, but later. And then they kids are junior highers and high schoolers, and you wonder if I put enough money in a college fund, and oh my goodness, retirement's around the corner. Have I set aside enough money for retirement? We definitely want to be those generous people, but later. And you, all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're 50 and you've said later for 30 years, and what later really meant was no. And so what I plead people to do is to start, not necessarily start at 10% of their income, but start anywhere.
Right.
Start somewhere, start now. Mm-hmm. Start with 1%, start with 2%, start with 3%, but begin to faithfully, generously set money aside in a systematic way so that you don't wake up one day and find out that you've really defied God in this issue for decades. My plea with people is start somewhere, start now. The word later is lethal.
You had three young kids.
We did, yeah.
And a church that was small and struggling at times. And you've told stories where, you know, that bag of groceries just showed up at the right time. And it always works itself out.
I believe that when people devote themselves to the generous life, I believe it touches something in the heart of the Father where he desires to make sure that basic needs are met. Not luxuries, not all. We didn't have everything we wanted, but we always had food. We always had clothing. We could always come up with a few dollars to put in the gas tank to get where we're going. But I think what happens is that I think the journey of generosity is the journey of trust. And one of the main enemies of the generous life isn't greed. Sometimes it's greed. Often it's fear. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I give this money away, it is no longer mine. It's no longer mine for a weekend getaway. It's no longer mine if a car breaks down. It's no longer mine to put in a retirement fund. And so I really believe that what God calls us into is a cycle of trust where he says, I want you to trust me here. Can I trust that he will care for me? And so I believe that in the cycle of trust, I give and God provides, and I give and God provides, and I give and God provides. But for many of us, the journey toward the generous life is a journey of trust where I have to wrestle down, do I really trust that I will have enough? And this is a bigger one. Mm-hmm. Do I trust that I will be enough if I release these funds? Give them away? Do I believe that God will really take care of me? A huge battle of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing that you discuss in the book, Satisfied, is who we are in Christ.
Absolutely.
We are not what we own.
Yeah.
And we have real value just because we are sons and daughters of God.
Central to the conversation is this issue of identity and where we find our core identity. Mm-hmm. And we explore Ephesians 1, where the Apostle Paul says, he adopted you. Mm-hmm. He bought you. You're his. And just that powerful image of adoption, he picked you out, he picked you up, he brought you home. And that core issue of adoption, what that means for identity is that as a follower of the Christ, what that means, if I've truly come to know him, is I don't get my identity from my house. I bring my new identity to my house. I don't get an identity from my car. I bring an identity to my car. I don't get my identity from my title. I bring an identity to my title. And so I think that if the Jesus follower, if a professing Christian truly understands who they are, because of what Jesus is, there's freedom there. Mm-hmm. There's freedom there in purchasing decisions. That freedom is taken away when I'm truly trying to get my identity from my clothes or my house or my stuff. It truly changes things.
This is something from a long time ago that we had posted on our refrigerator at our house for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure it exactly goes along with Satisfied, but along the same lines. Look in your own ice cream bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
What's in your bowl? Mm-hmm. Because the analogy that was given was when someone serves up a dish of ice cream and you have it in front of you, you're so excited to have this ice cream. I love ice cream and it's got chocolate on it and it's really good. Yeah. And then all of a sudden your brother gets an additional scoop of ice cream and then your ice cream seems pretty lousy and it's not as good. Mm-hmm. But oh man, my brother's ice cream just looks great. And just that. Look in your own bowl. Look at what you already have.
Yeah, what we're talking about there is comparison.
Yeah.
And in Satisfied, I mentioned that comparison is a thief and a murderer. It will rob you of joy. It will rob you of gratitude. It will massacre generosity. And, we have a challenge that we didn't have 20 years ago. Because often when we were comparing ourselves 20 years ago, we were comparing our reality with somebody else's reality. But with the advent of social media platforms like Facebook, you're no longer comparing your reality with someone else's reality. You're comparing your reality with someone else's image projection. And often people only write about that those aspects of their jobs that they most enjoy, their most exotic vacation. They show themselves at their thinnest. And so if you are trying to be content with what you have and you've had to downscale as a family, you've had to sell off some luxuries. You've had to postpone a vacation. If you want to, if you want to get really depressed really fast, all you have to do is go on Facebook and see where your friends are going. But what you're doing there is you're comparing your day-to-day grind with their highlight reel.
Yeah,
and it's just a quick way to get depressed really fast. So comparison can rob you of joy and gratitude.
Is there anything else that we're missing from the book that you specifically want to get to?
Well, just this issue of contentment, that contentment is a satisfied heart that is able to say, I'm okay with it and I'm okay without it. Contentment is not achieved through getting everything we want. It's a heart that's alive to God and alive to other people, whether or not we get what we want. And so it's just freeing. I believe that contentment is freedom of the soul.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Stop by anytime at WCSG.org.